This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Compared with the attention directed at injection drug use, or IDU for short, oral crack use or crack smoking is a fairly neglected public health problem in Canada. Research published in the Canadian Journal of Public Health by Emma Hayden and Benedict Fisher concluded that safer crack use kit distribution programs are pragmatic, community-driven initiatives to reduce harm among crack users. The authors observed it was evident that the issue of safer crack use kits is embedded in the politics of harm reduction, which has unduly stalled potentially important public health interventions for high-risk drug users before.
In the summer of 2001, three Toronto coalitions, the Harm Reduction Network, the Harm Reduction Task Force, and the Illicit Drug Users Union of Toronto, formed the Safer Crack Use Coalition. Lorraine Barnaby is a health promoter with Shout Clinic and a member of the Safer Crack Use Coalition. She's on the phone with us today from Toronto. Welcome to People First Radio, Lorraine.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Lorraine, tell us about the Safer Crack Use Coalition.
Well, we formed in the 2001, really because we had a concern with the alarming hepatitis C rates we were seeing amongst people who were smoking crack, and we recognized that they had very little access to services. There were no harm reduction materials for them to help them reduce the risk associated with sharing of crack pipes and the use of homemade and toxic pipes. So we felt that there was a real need for community members and agencies to come together to really focus on this, what felt like a health crisis.
What have you learned from the distribution of these safer crack use kits?
Well, both SCUC as well as Toronto Public Health and other public health agencies who have distributed safer crack use kits and have conducted evaluations have found quite a few wonderful things. We see that the frequency of sharing crack pipes dramatically decreases, that people knowledge around HIV and Hep C prevention dramatically increases, that in the beginning you had people who weren't accessing any health or social services or support, so they were quite invisible and they were quite stigmatized. What we have found is that they started to use these services and that they thought that the value of actually receiving a safer crack use kit wasn't just that it could help them decrease their risk, but it actually increased their knowledge. They had better connections to the community and to the agencies that were serving those communities, and that there were improvements to their health and well-being because of this greater access to the services.
This is People First Radio. We've been talking about the harm reduction approach to reducing the transmission of diseases such as hepatitis C and HIV that can occur among drug users who share drug-taking equipment. We've been discussing safer crack use kits. We're joined on the line today by Lorraine Barnaby, a health promoter with Shout Clinic in Toronto and a pioneer who was involved at the start of Toronto's Safer Crack Use Coalition.
And we're also joined in the studio by Sandy McLean and Darcy Davidson. Both Sandy and Darcy are nurses, and they work at Nanaimo's Harris House Health Clinic. Welcome to People First Radio, you guys. Harris House Health Clinic includes Nanaimo's needle exchange program. What has your experience been in providing harm reduction programs in Nanaimo?
I've been a nurse for 15 years at that clinic providing that service, and we certainly have a 10-year history of being able to provide service in a way that is or was agreeable to the community. Certainly over time, with the increased poverty and homelessness, we have seen more social problems. But over that time, we have many incidents of connecting with people that they were able to move forward in their addiction and be able to obtain more optimal health. It's not only the clients we serve, it's also the families where these clients belong to people that we've been able to help perhaps at times with them understanding the powerlessness of addiction and how difficult it is to really move forward.
Darcy?
I'm actually not a nurse, so I just wanted to clear that up.
Sorry about that.
So my function is more of an administrative one. The comment that I'll make is just when we've, in terms of our startup and move to our new facility, which was which took place in January, the biggest the biggest success for us has been the willingness on the part of the city council and the community to come together to actually have the debates and the discussions that are necessary for us to be able to put forward programming like this and do it in a way that's successful and integrates well into the community. So that's been my experience in providing this service right now.
Lorraine Barnaby, what was your experience in Toronto at the start of your work around the distribution of safer crack use kits?
Well, definitely in the beginning there was a real hesitancy amongst, you know, public health and government officials to kind of endorse and take on this project. It's been quite a political issue, very reflective of the same kind of arguments and backlashes that occurred when in the 80s when needle exchanges were being set up. So it really started off as a handful of agencies. We actually pulled our resources. We did fundraising for many, many years to do this project. I would buy, myself and other Scuckers would buy all the supplies, and we would distribute them to the different agencies, would sign a contract, and we would go in and do training for the agencies and help them set up their kit-making programs. And this was done for many, many years quite successfully. And then a couple of years ago, the City of Toronto started a drug strategy, and one of the recommendations, which was approved by the city councillors, was to distribute safer crack use kits through the Toronto Public Health. And so I think when we started, we had about 6 agencies. When we handed it over to public health, we had about 22 agencies. And I think to date, it's close to 30 agencies across the city doing it. So, yes, it was quite difficult in the beginning financially, and we had to put limits on how many kits we could give out, and which is never a comfortable thing to do when you're doing harm reduction work, but we had to work with the financial means that we had. So it's really wonderful to see Toronto Public Health having taken it on, the evaluation that's just being completed. It's really shown the benefits of when public health takes on these projects, because there aren't any limits. There's greater access. Agencies are more financially fit to be able to take on these programs. It creates nice equity between the different neighborhoods and agencies. So I always encourage all communities, public health agencies, to really take on these types of projects. Can you imagine in the 80s during the HIV epidemic if, you know, well, actually it did happen in many communities across Toronto when there were limits on how many syringes people could get. Mm-hmm. But we know that people need clean, safe drug use equipment for each and every drug use encounter.
Sandy and Darcy, were either of you involved in the first distribution of safer crack use kits in Nanaimo 2 years ago?
No, we weren't. Our agency was not part of that. We certainly got a lot of response from the public, a lot of calls and a lot of assumptions that it was us. But no, that came from the crisis response service. And although the intention was good, our style perhaps is more of trying to help the community be educated as to why things need to be done or need to be changed, and be part of solution for how that can go. But we really like to work with our community, and we have a history of working with the community and have had wonderful support and just wonderful feedback from caring people who, once they understand how important it is to avoid spreading disease, how much they are willing then to look at a solution, and hopefully we will be part of that solution.
It's interesting. Perhaps each of you could comment on why it seems to be so difficult to understand the nature of harm reduction. Sandy, do you want to begin?
Well, harm reduction is more to me than just simply clean needles, you know, condoms, you know, safer crack kits. Harm reduction is really a way of being in the world, and I think if your own belief system is solid about how we all have value and we all have hopefully a right to the best health options that we can have, it's just much easier to follow that. I think nurses traditionally have used a harm reduction philosophy without even having the words for it. An example might be if, you know, you had a heart attack and you ended up in intensive care, the nurse hopefully isn't going to flog you because you're still smoking. She's perhaps going to talk to you about how, well, it's great you've reduced your use and, you know, you just keep working on it. And we encourage healthy choices. So harm reduction, it's just levels of understanding and levels of acceptance, because it's not really whether it's against the drugs. It's about how we can have people pick safer choices, because none of us are ever happy that people end up in addiction. It's just, what can we do, you know, as a group? What can we do to just try to make better choices so that we're all in better, you know, better health?
Mm-hmm. Lorraine, what would be your comment around that issue of understanding harm reduction?
Well, you know, for me, harm reduction is a really a health promotion approach to substance use. And not only does the Safer Crack Use Kits decrease disease transmission, and crack smokers are at an increased risk for hepatitis C and HIV than the general population, but the other benefits to it is that people learn more about health, and when they go into a community health center or another social service agency to get a Safer Crack Use Kit, they may encounter the nurse, they may encounter the housing worker, the mental health counselor, and they start to access these other services, and so they start to address other health issues. As well, when people get comfortable using these services and they build a relationship with the different workers, they start to talk about their substance use issues, and they are more apt to look at drug treatment services, whether it be counseling, detox, or going into rehabilitation. So it's kind of like putting a seed in the ground and watching it kind of grow into a beautiful flower. People just, you know, their health generally does improve because they now have a positive and supportive relationship to the healthcare system. And they're no longer invisible in our communities. They are a member of our communities. So to me, health harm reduction is a really valuable and very sensible and pragmatic approach to substance use issues and all sorts of issues.
Mm. Darcy?
I just think that any sort of negative reaction to education and health-based programs, a lot of it is fear-based. It's a lack of awareness about what it is that we're trying to accomplish, and also a sense of not maybe wanting to accept that drug use happens in our society. It happens among all social classes, and it knows no racial or gender boundaries. It's there. And I think that once people start to confront that and see it within their own lives, within their own family systems, within social systems that they're very familiar and comfortable with, it's challenging for people, and it's scary. And so I think that people's first reactions to programs like this is one of fear, and then a sense of maybe that this problem is bigger than people like to think it is, that it's not mm-hmm. just the people on the corner who are highly visible, but it's happening in the bar washrooms every Friday night when we go out and have our beer, and it's happening mm-hmm. like in social situations that we normally see ourselves as very comfortable in. And I think that that's when, you know, when people start having to confront that and see that, it's challenging.
We have just a moment left. We have to wrap this up, but I'm wondering, while we have you on the phone, Lorraine, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation?
Yeah, the reason for creating these kits initially was around the real alarming risk of hepatitis C infection. And a recent study done by Benedict Fisher went out and collected crack pipes, and it tested the people who were using those pipes to see if they were Hep C positive. And out of these 51 people, 22 people tested Hep C positive, and they actually found that the blood samples that were still on these crack pipes had enough of the Hep C virus on them to transmit an infection. And we know that sharing crack pipes is something that happens a lot. So not only does these kits allow people to have a reason to interact with the healthcare system, but it really does prevent disease transmission. And the kits are extremely cheap. They're a wonderful education tool, and it's a lot cheaper to prevent a disease than to treat it. And it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to treat hepatitis C, and not everyone can actually respond well to the treatment. Not everyone can actually do the Hep C treatment. So to me, this is a way to really respond to a health crisis in regards to hepatitis C, as well as other infections related to drug use. And so I really I wish BC all the luck in really getting this as a widespread health initiative that's available to all people who are smoking crack.
And we have the highest rate of rising Hep C mm-hmm. in Canada, 300 yeah. new cases per month.
Mm-hmm. So this is a way to protect not just drug users' health, but the health of the entire community, because drug users are a member of our community, and transmission can happen in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine Barnaby, thank you very much for taking the time to join us
today. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you also to Sandy and to Darcy for taking the time to come into the studio and speak with us. I'm sure that we'll be speaking with you again in future on matters related to harm reduction. Lorraine Barnaby is a health promoter at Toronto's Shout Clinic. Sandy McLean is a nurse with Harris House Health Clinic in Nanaimo. And Darcy Davidson is the coordinator of the clinic. Harris House Health Clinic is operated by NARCIF programs and funded by the Vancouver Island Health Authority. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM radio, from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.